everyone. This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here. Today we are launching this brand new conversation called Finishing Strong. And in a couple of weeks, we're walking into another conversation called An Awkward Family Christmas. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but in the next few weeks, you know what we're entering? Holiday season! Yeah, that was about the same response in the first service. Mixed feelings. Lots and lots of mixed feelings. And for those of you who are here and you're dreading Christmas, we do have a series coming called Awkward Family Christmas. We're going to talk through how God can bring incredible hope into family situations, no matter what the family situation is. And you see that so powerfully in the story of Christmas, believe it or not. And as we move through the Christmas season, we're going to be looking at that and looking at how do we experience that hope and that life that he wants to be able to bring into that. But before we get there, we want to take 2 weeks and we want to talk about finishing strong. And we want to look at, okay, how do we engage this Christmas season a little bit differently? Because I don't think it's just family that causes us to have mixed feelings. It's also, I mean, you walk into the next few weeks, the next month and a half, and it's crazy and it's busy and you're going all these different places and you have all this stuff to buy. And there's all these things to do. And it's interesting because this is supposed to be, and we say, okay, this is the season in which we're celebrating the generosity of God. We're celebrating the fact that God sent his son. This is the most famous passage, John 3:16, where it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." This idea of God giving and Jesus giving to us. Interestingly enough, when you look at Christmas, this is where Jesus comes. He doesn't actually give his life here. He gives his life on Easter. Christmas is actually more about what Jesus gives up than what he gives. So Philippians talks about it this way. It says, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being." He gives up everything that is rightfully his. He gives up all the glory that was rightfully his, all the privileges, everything that he deserved. And for those of you who are exploring this and trying to figure out, okay, who is Jesus? Your friend invited you today. And you're like, I'm not really sure whether I can trust this. I don't even know who God is. You need to understand this about the message of Jesus. At its core is generosity. And at Christmas, Jesus gives up everything that's rightfully his, everything that he deserves, the glory that he deserves. He walks away from all of it because, and this is so important, he wanted something else more. You say, well, what could you want more than glory and divine privilege? What could you want more than that? He wanted something else more. He wanted you. That's a crazy thing about Christmas. He gives up all of this, and then he comes to Easter and he gives his life. Why? Because he wanted something more than even his life. You. Gives it all up because he wanted you. And what we want here at Hoboken Grace more than anything is for you to be able to know and experience that. When we talk about helping people find their way back to God, we want for you to know and experience that, to live in that. This incredible generosity of God and what he was willing to give up, not just to give to you, but to give up for you. Because he wanted you. And I don't care where you are, what you've done, what mistakes you've made. He did that for you. And we want for you to know that and experience that. And Christmas is supposed to be a time when we celebrate that generosity, where we step into that generosity. And one of the things that we know about generosity is that generosity, Scripture's taught us, and Jesus teaches us over and over and over again, life is found in generosity. Real life, true life, meaningful life is found in generosity. It's better to give than to receive. Jesus is teaching us this over and over and over again. Life is found in generosity. You see it every third week. You see this passage up on the screen. as we're walking through our minute to give, it says, tell them to use their money to do good. It's talking about the rich. He says they should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they'll be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. And over again, God says, if you want to know what it looks like to really be alive, if you want to know what it looks like to be me, you don't just benefit from my generosity, you step into generosity and you live a life of generosity. You're going to find out what it is to actually be alive. And then we walk through the Christmas season, which is supposed to be a season where we step into generosity, where we celebrate his generosity, we step into that generosity, and we come out of it on January 2nd and we feel dead. We come out of this season that's supposed to be a celebration of generosity, and we say, wait a second, what happened to the true life? I barely made it. Why? Why? As we prepare to walk into the season, I think it is actually possible for us to experience this as we move through the Christmas season. But if that's going to happen, we have to recognize something, and that is this. We have to recognize that this season, which is supposed to be about generosity, has been hijacked by a counterfeit generosity. It has been hijacked by a counterfeit generosity. And rather than us, as we move through the season, experiencing the true life of generosity, we experience something different. It's a counterfeit generosity, which doesn't lead to life at all. It actually leads to exhaustion. Rather than it leading to or being built on satisfaction, it leads to just more of that rat race that we seem to find ourselves in all the time. Because it's a counterfeit generosity. And here's the danger of this. And I want to introduce this early because I want for you to think through this as we move through the whole conversation. Here's the danger of this. My biggest fear is that because we experience a counterfeit generosity instead of the real generosity, what generosity actually is, rather than it leading to life, it leads to death in us. It leads to exhaustion in us. It leads to us being thirsty rather than being full. And as a result, what I'm afraid of is that we'll begin to believe that this isn't actually true. We'll look at our experience and we'll say, no, generosity doesn't actually lead to life because look at Christmas. And that in the way that we operate, we're actually leading ourselves away from being able to experience and knowing this. Because we buy into a counterfeit generosity, a generosity that's built not on satisfaction, but a generosity that's built on what I want. I don't have enough. It's built on greed. It's built on consumerism. It's a consumeristic generosity. What do I want, and how can I have more, and what more can we have, and what do we not have that we want? And so we move into Christmas, and rather than us experiencing strategic generosity, we experience this impulsive generosity where we just spend. This is why we spend impulsively as we move through it, because it's a consumeristic generosity, more. It's also why we spend more during Christmas on ourselves than we do on others. Based on your laughter, you realize this already, okay? So I didn't have to fill you in on this. You already know this. Some of you, it might be a surprise to you, but if you actually track it, you'll see you'll spend more on yourself than you do on others. And you see this even by the sales that we're presented with. It always makes me laugh. You go into Black Friday. Most of the things on sale, you wouldn't give as a gift to someone else. You're not walking into Christmas like, hey, I was walking through Best Buy, saw this Dell, thought you'd like it. No. You're not buying that for someone else. You're buying it for yourself. You're not going to get your brother-in-law a vacuum. Hey, I was at your house. Looked a little dirty. Got you a vacuum. Why are there vacuums on sale? That's not a Christmas gift. You don't get that for someone else. Hopefully you don't get it for your wife. I'm going to tell you that right now. For some of you, you're newly married. You just need to know this. I don't care how many times your wife says that she needs a new vacuum. Man, we need a new vacuum. We need a new vacuum. Do not get her a vacuum for Christmas. You buy it on Good Friday, bring it home on Saturday, you'll be a hero. You give it to her on Christmas, you're in the bedroom till New Year's. I'm going to tell you, you're on the couch till New Year's. But we have this consumeristic generosity, and so it's more for them, more for me, more for them. And it's impulsive. The generosity of Scripture is not a generosity that's based on credit. It's not impulsive. It's strategic. It's not consumeristic. And this is the most important. This is the most important aspect of this. And listen to me. This is so critical. I love the way that Jesus says this at one point. He says to his disciples, Matthew chapter 10, he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. He says, I want for you to carry yourself innocently and gently. I want for you to engage the journey that way. But he says, but I want for you to be as shrewd as a snake. He says, you got to pay attention. And I love the fact that he uses a snake. Because what is the snake an image of in Scripture? It's the image of the enemy. It's the image of what would destroy you. He says, you need to be smarter. You need to be smarter than he is. And he's constantly working. There are things in the world that are constantly working to rob you of life. So pay attention, be alert, be aware. And this is so critical because I think we walk through Christmas, and Christmas is a great time, but we don't actually take time to, okay, what is actually happening in me? What's actually happening through me as I engage this season? And I think we have to understand, no, generosity has been hijacked during this season. It's this consumeristic generosity. It's so different than what we see in 1 Timothy, because in 1 Timothy, you see a generosity that it's actually birthed out of, it flows out of satisfaction. It flows out of contentment. But listen to what he says just earlier in 1 Timothy. He says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money. He says, don't trust in that. Listen, you put your trust in that, you're going to be in trouble. He says, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God. And this is how he leads into them being generous. He says, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. He says, he richly gives us all that we need. What's the foundation for your generosity? The foundation for the generosity he's talking about, that God talks to us about, is satisfaction. No, I have what I need. Recently, I had the opportunity to be able to go to Thailand. It was an amazing experience. I got to go with my 8-year-old son, which made it even more special. But we were visiting homes of individuals who are part of Compassion, and Compassion works with impoverished children all over the world. It's a phenomenal organization. You're going to hear more about it here at Hoboken Grace as we move to this next year, because all of us are going to be involved in it. But we had the opportunity to be able to visit these homes. And I've had the opportunity to do this in multiple places in the world, Haiti, in Guatemala, Sierra Leone. And one of the things that I love, and we experienced it again as we were visiting this home, and we were talking with this family, and it was a pretty difficult situation. She's not only a single mom in an impoverished situation, but two of her sons have autism. And it's really difficult. The son who's in the program couldn't even talk to us, couldn't have a conversation with us at all. Interestingly enough, he was amazing at driving a dirt bike. He gave me a ride. I was like, listen, I'm just going to trust you and go with it. Don't tell my wife. But as we encounter the situation, we're talking with him, we're about to leave, and we had brought her a gift, but it was amazing because she walked into the house. She said, wait, before you leave. She walks in the house and she walks back out, and she had a bag of rice for each of us. She worked at the rice. That's what she did. She worked at the rice field. She's like, I have this for you. She was so excited to give it to us. And all of us were like, I don't think we can take rice on the plane. My son was so excited. He loves rice. I mean, so excited. He's like, this is going to be the best rice we've ever had, Dad. This is going to be amazing. I was like, I don't think we can take it on the plane. He's like, can we cook it at the hotel? I'm like, I don't think there's a rice cooker at the hotel. I don't know.
But she comes out and she gives us these bags of rice. And I love these moments. I've experienced these moments over and over again in communities and situations like this. And the reason that I love them, they're so refreshing. It's like, it's literally like water to your soul when you experience it. And some people struggle with it because they're like, oh, no, you shouldn't give to me. Well, then you don't understand generosity from a scriptural perspective. The way that they do. She understood life is found in generosity. So she wasn't going to miss the opportunity to be generous. But she didn't give to show off. She didn't give out of guilt. You know what she gave out of? Satisfaction and contentment. She knew that we were coming to her house, and she said, look, we ate this morning. We have all that we need. We can give. I love those moments. To see true generosity in action is life-giving. And again, I sat there in that moment. I was like, man, it's amazing. It's so beautiful. It's so powerful. And to be honest with you, it's rare to find amongst the rich, which is us. The rich give out of guilt. They give out of ambition. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. They give out of pride. They give for tax reasons. A lot of different reasons. Very rarely out of contentment. True generosity is born out of contentment. And if we're going to experience the generosity that brings true life, it has to be birthed out of contentment. Our ability to be able to look at our lives and say, I have what I need for my enjoyment. Paul talks about this in his life. It's interesting because he talks about this from prison. And he's writing to this church that had helped him several times when he was in need. Listen to what he says. He says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know that you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Now, let me put this in context for you with Paul, because you need to understand he's actually experienced this. Don't be distracted by the loud noises in the back. They turned on the boiler today. If you've attended Hoboken Grace for years, you know there's something living in the boiler. We don't know what it is, but it comes up and bangs on the pipes whenever it's turned on. So that's keeping you warm, that banging noise in the back, so you just have to ignore it. We need our own building, okay? So many reasons why. But he says, I learned how to live with nothing and with everything. And he said, now let me put that in context. When Paul is planting the church, one of the places, and planting churches, one of the places that he lives is this woman Lydia's house. Now, Lydia's house is so big and so grand that they actually launch a church from her house. She is phenomenally wealthy. And when he comes to her town, he lives in her home. He operates out of her home. That way he doesn't have to raise support and he doesn't have to have another job and that thing. It allows him to be able to do that. He's experienced the extravagance of Lydia's house. And he's writing this from prison.
And he says, I've figured out the secret to be able to be in both places. I've figured out how to live in Lydia's house and not let greed begin to literally dig itself into my soul, to not come to the point where I feel like I have to have that in order to be satisfied, that I have to have that in order to have what I need for my enjoyment. I've figured out how to be there and not allow that to wrap itself around my heart. I've also figured out how to be in prison and not allow greed to cause me to be angry at the wealthy because I don't have what they have. I've learned how to be content, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Maybe you don't know that or not. This isn't actually a football passage. It's not about what you can do on a field. It's about contentment. I can be satisfied, content in every situation. Which means that he could also be truly generous in every situation. True generosity is birthed out of satisfaction. Unfortunately, the generosity that we experience around Christmas time all too often is a consumeristic generosity. It's not based out of satisfaction. It's based on more, 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 more. What do I want? What can I have? And it's robbing us of life. And more dangerously, I think it's planting the seed that life isn't actually found in generosity. And so as we come to this point, I want to ask you this question. What would it look like for you to give from the place of contentment? What would it look like for you to engage Christmas that way? Because you have to ask, okay, is the way that I engage Christmas, is it bringing true generosity? Is it actually reflecting true generosity? If you're a parent, you have to ask, is how you're engaging Christmas actually developing the true idea of generosity in your kids, or is it just further developing consumeristic generosity? What would it look like? And I've struggled with this for years because I like Christmas. And it's fun. But is it fun at the expense of us knowing what it is to truly live? Generosity has been hijacked, and we need to hijack it back. We need to hijack it back, and it may be far more significant than we thought. The cost of it may be far more significant than we ever knew. In terms of what it's developing in our hearts and our kids' lives, and in terms of what we experience on this journey with Him. So I want to challenge you on a couple different fronts. Number one, how do you hijack this yourself? Which means, I didn't challenge the first service with this, I'm just going to challenge you with it. You're like, why? You should have told them. No. Here's my challenge, because it's a little bit hard. What if you went into the next month and decided to spend nothing on yourself? Some of you are like, whoa, wait,
wait. You don't understand the deals. You don't understand the deals on Black Friday. You don't understand. Do you have what you need for your enjoyment? I remember my dad challenged me with this years ago, and it gets to me. He said to me, Chris, God doesn't say he's going to give you everything that you need for your enjoyment. He says he has. So is he lying to you or not? I'm going to take the fifth. Choose the fifth on that. What if you decided from a personal perspective? What if we get serious about this? We're going to hijack this back. Okay, no, I'm not going to spend on myself. What if we change the way that we look at, how we're going to give to others? Jesus at one point says, what good is it if you give to people who give back to you? He says, even sinners do that. What good is it if you love people who love you? How are you going to give to those who can't give back to you? One of the ways that we do that together is our Hoboken Christmas Exchange. The cards are on your seat. You're sitting on them right now. You didn't even know it was there. You sat down. It's dark in here. When you stand up, it's probably going to stick into the back of you. It's weird. But on your way out, just peel it off and take a look. You can see what we do. But you can give. But even more than that, for those of you who are parents, what does this look like? For Anna and I, one of the things that we've decided is that this year we're going to use our Christmas budget. We're not doing the gifts thing. We're going to use our Christmas budget to take our whole family to Sierra Leone. We're going to go on a missions trip together. Why? My kids have what they need for their enjoyment. You know what they need? They need to see generosity in action. What if rather than asking for more, you ask for someone to help you go on a missions trip? What if it changed the way that we give? And then what if we actually took a step of generosity? What if we decided, no, we're going to take a step of generosity. I'm going to take a step of generosity during the season of generosity. As he walks through that, he says, I want you to understand that you have all that you need so that you can give to those in need. And here at Hoboken Grace, we do that in so many different ways. As together, we give to those in need, whether it's the trips that we are able to go on, the missions that we're able to support, things that we're going to be able to do with compassion or the space even that we're trying to set up on 14th Street. We were able to walk our partners through that a couple weeks ago. They are so excited about how they're going to be able to utilize that space, and they're dreaming of what that's going to look like and how they're going to be able to impact more lives and impact more people through that space. All of that's possible because of your generosity, because of our generosity together. So what if we decided this generosity season, I'm going to take a step in terms of actual generosity, to be able to give, to impact those in need physically, spiritually, to help others find their way back to God, emotionally. One of the things that we're constantly trying to help people do here at Hoboken Grace is to be able to walk what we call the journey of generosity. And it begins with those who decide, I'm going to give for the first time. You say, and some of you are here and you've given before. In other words, you're like, I think they do nice things, so I'm gonna give. But I'm talking about someone who gives in terms of responding to God. And say, I want to honor him with my generosity. I want to acknowledge, you've given me all that I need, so I'm going to give back to you. And that's that first time giver. Then you have a consistent giver, someone who decides, I'm not going to occasionally give. I'm going to consistently invest in what's most important. I'm going to consistently give for those who are in need physically, spiritually, emotionally. We're going to consistently do that together. If you've given before here at Hoboken Grace and you've opened up the app and you've clicked on it or whatever, you've seen this. And some people think, that's interesting that they do that. If you've ever tried to do it, you see that automatically defaults to recurring giving. Have you seen that? You've noticed that? You're like, oh, that's tricky. No, it's not tricky. I want, listen to me, when it comes to generosity, we don't want something from you, we want something for you. I want for you to know what it is to consistently invest in what's most important. I want that for you. I don't want for you to get to the end of this story and look at everything that God has done and say, man, I never actually invested in that. It's a consistent giver, surrendered giver, someone who realizes everything that I have is from him. That really is the place where you say, no, I have all that I need for my enjoyment. And you stop asking the question, what should I give? And you start asking the question, like, what do I actually need to keep? Because the rest of it I want to give. Like, what do I actually need to keep? That mom who gave us that, you know the question she was asking? What do I actually need to keep? I need to keep this, so I'm going to give. Then you have the eternal giver. The eternal giver is someone who begins to look at it and say, okay, how do I? They actually look at it as investing. This is my portfolio. This is what I invest in. Intentionally, consistently, as much as possible, investing in that. What if this Christmas you decided to take a step? The Home Initiative a couple years ago was so powerful for us as a family because we decided to take a step in terms of generosity. We experienced God in ways we never thought possible. We experienced the life of generosity. And we were challenged, okay, take a step. I remember for Anna and I, it was such a big deal because for so long, we had been working towards and trying to get to where we want to be able to give 20%. That was our goal for since we began our marriage and as we worked through this, and we're finally able to get there, we're like, okay, now we're going to be able to. What's your next step? What does that look like? And I think for a lot of us, we took those steps, and then the Home Initiative ended, and we went on a lot of vacations, which was good. But what's your next step? What if during this season of generosity, you actually took a step of generosity? If we decided, no, I have what I need. I'm going to hijack this whole thing. I'm going to hijack this whole thing so that we experience a generosity that's based on contentment. So that we come to January 2nd, and we're able to say, wow, that was a season of generosity. That's what it's supposed to feel like. That's what it's supposed to look like. That honored him. What's the step you need to take? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you as we move through this that you have been so incredibly generous to us. That you've stepped into our lives and over and over again, you have called us to this reality that it's better to give than to receive. It's better to give than to receive. Listen, life is found here. Life is found here. Joy is found here. And Father, I pray as we move through the next few months that you would call us back to this over and over again. That we would decide that we are going to intentionally hijack the counterfeit idea of generosity that we've been presented with. So that we can experience true life. So that we can become a little more like you. so that we can bring life to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.